I too want to greet each one in Christ's name this morning. I want to say I appreciate everyone being here. I know I'm not from here, as you know, but I have a special place in my heart for Paris, Tennessee, and I always enjoy coming back. Sometimes feels like coming back home. I know this weekend we came down kind of specifically to set the gravestone for Mom and Dad, and we were traveling down, and on the way down, it always kind of hits me when I'm coming down. It doesn't feel the same without Mom and Dad, and we miss them. But life has a way of bringing stuff into our path, and it's different than how we perceive life. I'm sure that all of us. I know I was just an in-law, but it seemed like wasn't their time to go. I know you guys just had a funeral here in the community, just here last weekend, I think it was. But God has a way of His time is right. And I do also want to bring greetings from Lincoln, Missouri, Gospel Light there. If you're ever out in Missouri, welcome you to stop in and visit us and join in with us. We'd love to have you. And especially to Michael and Michael and James, if they come out, they are sure to they're for sure welcome. And the last time I was in church here, I told Michael that I kind of slipped in the back. I thought it would be nice to slip in. I didn't tell Michael, and so I told him that I'll make sure that next time I'm down that I will I'll make sure that I'll open myself up to have a message. So James, we were having a conversation on the phone, and he asked me, and I said, yeah. He told me I could think about it, and I said, well, I already know my answer because I told Michael that I wouldn't do that again without letting him know. So you have to listen to me this morning. I kind of had something that was laid on my heart to share last week, and then it was in the middle of last week that I remembered that it's Mother's Day today, and James already mentioned that it's Mother's Day, and so I kind of thought about having a message on Mother's Day, but for some reason it didn't want to come together, and so I'm not going to have a message for mothers. Not that you're not important. I have a special place, and I think we all do, a special place in our hearts for our moms, and there's nobody that can fill that spot like a mother. And I know my wife to my children, and also to my mom. My mom had a very special place in us children's lives and in my life. She impacted me tremendously. And even though that she was a lot of times she was quiet and didn't, but you always knew exactly where Mom was. And so I just want to give a little bit of encouragement to you mothers, that some days it may seem endless. It may seem like that, you know, what you're doing isn't paying off. Or maybe that, you know, just endless work. And, you know, I remember hearing growing up, and especially when my sisters started getting involved, and they probably thought that us brothers, we could have done more. And they always told me that a woman's work is never done. And because as men, we can come in and sit down, and they got to always keep going. And it's a little bit of truth to that. So we need to be thankful for the ladies and for the women in our lives. Now, if you want to turn with me to John chapter 10, John chapter 10. The title of my message this morning here is Following the Voice. And I was trying to decide what passage that I wanted to use, and I'd actually thought about the one there that was used this morning in devotions, and I appreciated the devotional this morning, but where Moses was at the burning bush, and he heard God speaking to him there. But I chose to use this passage here. The key verse that I have here is actually two verses, is verse 27 and 28. I'm going to read them in John chapter 10. It says, "My sheep know my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." And just thinking of, do we know the voice? Do we know his voice this morning? Do you know his voice this morning? There's a lot of voices out there for us to listen to today. But do we know the true one? Do we know his voice? Does Jesus know you this morning? And it was good to hear that James had mentioned there that there's some young Christians that are amongst you. And I want to I don't know for sure who you are, but I want to bless you in the decision. One of the most important decisions that we can make in our lives. And sometimes we think that we have, I got my whole life to try to figure this out. And I got my whole life to make a change. I've experienced some that were pretty close, that were very young, and it was their time. And so we don't know how much time that we have. But the important thing is that are we listening for his voice this morning? Now, I got a story that kind of goes along with it that I had. This story kind of touched me, and I actually had a message about this at our congregation. But this account kind of impacted me, and it's about a pilot, and I love to fly. But I never had a desire to fly a plane, to actually take control of a plane. And probably because I have different friends that fly, and it seems like every pilot comes to a critical point where he's going to have to make a life-changing, quick decision. And I'm not very good at making a quick decision. And you can probably ask my family and my wife. Sometimes I'm too slow at making a fast decision. So I think if I had control of a plane, you probably wouldn't want me to be, because it would probably be too late time I would make a change. But I love to fly. I enjoy flying. There's nothing like just different times that I've flown, and it was always had a good experience with flying. And you can see the world from a view that you just don't see from down here. It just looks different, and it always blesses me to fly. But this particular account here was, he was actually a pastor, and he was from, I don't know if he was actually from, but he was in Alaska. And he said he was at the airport, and this man came up to him. And obviously, I don't know if he would have known him, but it was another pastor. And he told him that, just save your ticket that you have, and I'll just take you in my plane. And so he said he hesitated a little bit, said kind of in his gut, he just had this feeling like, should he do this? And, well, it would save him a little bit of money. And so he hesitantly agreed. There was another friend of his that was with him, and they went out to the plane, just kind of a smaller plane. He said it was nice and shiny, and so he thought, well, it's good that at least the guy has his plane shined up, so hopefully it'll be safe. And so they taxied to the end of the runway, and he said they weren't in the air very long. And their pilot passed out. And he said they had no clue how to fly this plane. And the pilot didn't actually die, but he was passed out. the whole time that this incident occurred. And I can only imagine, I don't know if I can imagine, if I was in that spot and knew that you're going to have to take control of this thing or you're not going to make it out of this. And, you know, that's how it is in our lives, that we can't fly on our own, and that we sometimes we think we can fly on our own, but we're not going to last very long if we try it on our own. And so he said that they were in the cloud. It was a cloudy day, and so they couldn't see nothing. They didn't know where they were at, and so he told his buddy to get onto the radio and see if they could just ask for help or try it. They were just desperate. And so he gave his friend the radio, and they were flipping through channels trying to get some help. And so they were, he said he'd flipped every channel, and they were crying for help. And finally, all of a sudden, there was somebody that responded. And it was a big cargo plane that was leaving out of Anchorage. And he said, "I'm flying away from you, so I'm going to lose you." But he said that, you have to do what I tell you, or you'll never make it where you're at. And so the guy told him that he's going to get a hold of Anchorage, and they have emergency rescue teams. And they're at Anchorage, I guess they're set up for it. Up there, they fly way more than what we do here. And they said he's going to have to change his channel and try to get a hold of Anchorage. And he said, man, they did not want to flip that channel because he had somebody he could communicate with. And, you know, ain't that the way it is for us in our spiritual life? Sometimes we're called to let go. And sometimes it's extremely hard for us to let go of something that is maybe gives us a little bit of a comfort. But it just spoke to me when I was listening to his testimony, and he said that this man told him that you're going to have to do this or you'll never make it out. I want to read and go into verse 1 of chapter 10 here of John 10. And I'll read, I'm going to read down through verse 17, and then I'll have more of the story here, what happened here. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye enter in not. He that entereth in not by the door unto the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And to him the potter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the stranger will they not follow, but he will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what the things that they were that he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that I am the door of the sheep, and all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. I am the door, and by me if any man entered in, and he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and destroy. And I am come that he might have life, that he might have it more abundantly. I am a good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and a shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep, and the hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am a good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. And as the Father knoweth me, even so I know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, and them also must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. Verse 18 yet here. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. And this is a commandment which I have received of my Father. And just the picture here that Jesus has here in this account here. And he was giving them a very simple example here of a shepherd and how that the sheep know his voice. And now to go on with the story here, he said that they flipped over the channel, and right away he heard Anchorage they were searching for him already on radar, and so he connected with them, and he said the guy that was going to help him, he said, I'm the voice, and he said, there's only one thing that will get you out of this. And he said, but you have to listen to my voice. And he said, you have to obey my voice. Whatever I tell you to do, you have to do. And he said that at that point, he didn't even question whether he was going to, because he knew that if he didn't, that he was done. And isn't that how in our spiritual life, that we need to come to that point in our spiritual life, that without Christ, there is no hope, that we will fail without Christ in our life and without the true voice. And another thing that the man told him, he said that he told him to turn, and he got him turned around. And he said, I have no clue how that you made it as far as you did. He said, you were flying up through a mountain range and kind of through a gorge the way he was going. And he said that they don't know how that he made it that far. But he said he was flying straight for a mountain. He said it had only lasted under 4 minutes. And so he got him turned around, and they were telling him what to do. And he told him that he's going to come through some rough weather, but he said, don't look outside, but listen to my voice. But he said, there's going to be times that when we're trying to get you out of this, that you're not going to want to follow my voice. Maybe not because you don't want to, but maybe because of a fear that you have. And he said, a lot of people that he tries to get out of these situations, that they don't listen to my voice, but try to go on their own instinct, and they never make it out. And, you know, and for us today, you know, there's times when we go through storms. Now, maybe there's somebody here this morning that maybe you're going through a storm in your life. Now, I know that that in our life, in my life, that I have went through storms. That it felt like storms, and you feel hopeless if you're alone. And it's only if we listen to his voice that will get us through those times in our life. I want to turn to Psalms 91. I just have a verse here. You don't have to turn to it if you don't want to. Psalms 91, verse 15. And he shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and will deliver him and honor him. And so this morning, you know, there's something that we have to do. He had to do more than just listen. But he had to do something also. And he had to, first of all, he had to cry for help. And that's what we need to do this morning. We need to when we find ourselves, and not just in these times, but even in good times, that do I cry out to him for everything in my life, but especially you know, if we're going through a storm or if we're going through turbulence in our life, that do I cry out to him? And not only cry out to him, but then when he asks me to do something, do I obey what he's asking me to? Do I listen to his voice this morning? John 14, 6 and 7, I have a few verses there. And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if ye have known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from hence ye know him and have seen him. And here is Jesus' words here, explaining that he is the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so this morning, you know, I can say that he is the only way. And I often like to look at life, and I think about this a lot, that I only have one shot at this life. And God doesn't, sometimes maybe it feels like that he gives us second chances in our life. But our lifespan, I've only got one, you know, and I'm already, I'm 41 right now. And I remember well sitting right here in these front benches here. And Dennis and Phil here on the front, probably these boys' age. And now... Now it feels like, you know, I'm probably halfway through my life, or that's what my thought is. But we have no promise of tomorrow. We don't know what is in store for us. But I can assure us that if we want to see him on the other side, that he is the only way, but he is the truth and the life, and he won't let us alone. Going on here with this account here and this story here, he said that it took him a couple of hours to fly back into Anchorage, and said they had some extremely rough weather that he was flying through, and said it finally kind of leveled out, but he still couldn't see, and they were telling him to pick up the plane or to level it out, and he told him. He said that they have some, he said that we got you close to Anchorage, but he said there's another problem. He said that they cleared all the planes out of the area, and he said normally we wouldn't try to land, but we're gonna bring you in and try to get you on the ground. And so he said he wasn't sure what to expect when he came in. And the guy at the control tower told him that there was somebody that was wanting to talk to him on the radio, and he said some of the other planes that were circling got onto the radio and were telling him, they were encouraging him that you can do it, that you can land this plane. And you know, sometimes in life, it seems like that we're not going to be able to. And in those times is when we need to be there for one another, and we need to shore each other up, as Scripture says. We need to encourage one another when we see our brother or our sister. And sometimes it feels like that life is busy. We always have things to do and plenty of obligations. But you know, if I see my brother or my sister or somebody I come in contact with, and was mentioned this morning in devotions, you know, somebody had seen somebody just, I don't know, did they know each other? But he took a little time and he prayed for that person. And, you know, and do I do that? Do I take that time to be there and to shore my brother up? And so they brought him on down, and he told him that you're not going to be able to see nothing until you're right on the runway. And So he brought, was bringing the plane in, and he told him, look for the cross. I wouldn't have known this until I was listening to this account, but at the end of a runway, they have the lights, and at the end, it looks like a cross, and that's the beginning of the runway. And he said he dropped out of the clouds, and the runway was right there, and he said, man, it was the brightest cross that he's seen. And, of course, I imagine being in the dark and flying, not being able to see anything, that, boy, to visually see something was going to be, was man, you were ready to see anything. And he said he landed the plane, said he landed it seven times, and because he came down too hard, and he was bouncing around, but he got it on the ground. He said he thinks the plane came up six times. On the seventh time, he was able to keep it on the runway. And he said the next morning when he was, they went to a hotel. The next morning, there was a knock on his door. And he said as soon as he opened the door, he heard the guy talk. And he said, you're the voice. And he said, I am. He said, I was the one that brought you home. And he said he wanted to thank him for listening to his voice. He said so many of them that he tries to bring in, he said, they don't listen to my voice. They don't listen to what I'm telling them. And he said, I see him crash and burn all the time. And, you know, in our spiritual life, you know, do we see our brothers and our sisters, our family, spiritually crash and burn? And are we willing to go out of the way for one another? And especially personally, am I willing to listen to the voice? And that is the voice of Christ. And he he gives us the answers. He doesn't just let us. He doesn't just. I'm thankful he doesn't just let us hang. He gave us his word, and the answers are in this book here. And I tell my family sometimes when we go on a trip, the phones that we have, that they kind of ruined. I remember many a time, the older ones would definitely remember. I remember going on a trip and you weren't sure where you were at, so you'd pull off and pull out the big old atlas and look, try to figure out where you're at. And it was a road map. And today, we just ask our phone where we're at, and it'll tell us. But back before that time, that we had road map. And that's what this is. This is our road map. And God cared about us enough that he came down and, first of all, he came down and was a perfect sacrifice for us that we could have life. But he didn't just leave us with that. He left us his words, his teaching for us to follow. So this morning, just an encouragement to let's make sure that we're listening to his voice. Just some questions here that I had that I scratched down for food for thought here. Are you going through a storm in your life? Or maybe you know of somebody that's going through a storm and somebody that needs a little bit of encouragement, or maybe you need a little bit of encouragement. But let's always remember that there was a man that shared something with I was listening to him speak, and I thought he had some, it just kind of stuck with me. And he was talking about ministry, and I don't think that just pertains to me and to James and to Michael, but we're all in ministry. But he said that all his ministry is to reach down and to take somebody's hand and to place it on Christ and to give that hand to Jesus. And so many times, you know, maybe I want to try to help them personally. And maybe we do have something to give. But let's make sure we point them to Christ and let him work in their lives. Now, in closing here, Got a couple verses out of, again, out of Psalms 91 here. Psalms 91, the first two verses here, it says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust." Verse 1 there, talking about dwelling in a secret place. And, you know, and I always wondered, I think we probably all have a secret place. You know, and we need that. And I always liked, I think, reading through the Psalms, it's a lot of it is very easy to understand, and things that that we know. And he's talking here about dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. And, you know, do I take that time to have that secret place with God and to take that personal time with Him? And verse 2 there, it says, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust." And if we try to put our trust in other things, and I know in my life, that there were times that I have put my trust in other things. And do I have my trust in Him? Do I have my trust in Jesus this morning? Let's just remember that are we listening to the voice? Are we listening to the true voice this morning? He is the only one that can help us home and to get us home. And especially kind of thought about that with coming down here and putting a stone onto Mom and Dad's grave, and it just kind of felt like a closure almost, you know, to put a stone on there, and you know, and it really becomes real that they are, you know, now it's us. And what am I doing with my life? And am I following the true one? And do I have my eyes on Him? So with those thoughts, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.